I've had a lot of questions lately, and this is the reason. This is a slide that I did probably a year ago, and I'm bringing it back. Because I've had a lot of questions lately about time management. And I always refer to the book Getting Things Done as a time management book. The author's name is David Allen, A-L-L-E-N. A-L-L-E-N is the last name, first name David. Title of the book, Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity. And I've heard Cameron say a number of times that book helped her out. I think it's Cameron I've heard say that. I know Holly Rogers has. Several people have said it helped them. It helped me. But we've gone through how to schedule your time and putting the big blocks of time in first, you know, like conference calls you have to attend. And on. And I know there's 1,001 things in life that pop up that really should keep you from being on conference calls. But if you've got those big blocks in there first, those 1,001 things won't take that time. And I think the better you do at this in this business, the more you'll realize that those conference calls are your lifeblood and are how you continue to grow. So the sooner you realize that, the faster you're going to grow. But in my experience, this is not from a book. I always say the name of the book if I'm bringing this from a book. It's not from a book. It's actually from a number of places, books and pastors and conversations. These four principles of time came up. Number one says there's a cumulative value to investing small amounts of time in certain activities over a long period of time. There's a cumulative value to investing small amounts of time in certain activities over a long period of time. An example is working out. Walk briskly 30 minutes a day, and you'll live a long and healthy life. An example in this business is working your pending. See, a lot of people say, Fitz, I don't have time to work pending. And those people who say that, I call a liar. Because if you're telling me that you don't have 30 minutes free in a day, if you're honestly telling me that, I'm honestly calling you a liar. Or, you're not a liar, you're just really poorly organized. Because there's always 30 minutes free. There is a cumulative value to investing small amounts of time in certain activities over a long period of time. Pending, working at 30 minutes a day, or an hour a day, will keep your business flow going in and coming out. It'll keep you regular, so to speak. It keeps things moving.
That's a good one.
Well, I've always thought that pending was kind of like, you know, your intestines. You put enough in there, eventually something's going to come out. I've always seen it that way. But, you know, none of us really want to live that way, where we're just constantly stuffing it in and eventually something comes out. Because that's called constipation. And yes, insurance companies and their pending departments, underwriting departments, do have constipation sometimes. And a lot of times it's not their fault. It's our fault. And so there is a cumulative value to eating some fiber. There's just a little bit every day. Not a ton, just a little bit.
And I love this analogy.
Well, that's so true. And so many people, you know, I hear so many agents say, well, F&G is not issuing everything. And then I hear somebody else say, man, I can't get F&G not to issue everything. They're issuing everything. And I go, well, these aren't two different F&Gs we're dealing with. It's the same company. What are the differences? Well, one person is actually looking at their pending on a daily basis, and the other person is just throwing a bunch of crap against the wall and seeing what sticks. It's a very different philosophy and very different results. So there is a cumulative value to investing small amounts of time in certain activities over a long period of time. Number two, there are rarely any immediate consequences for neglecting single installments of time in any arena of life. An example, working out. If you miss a workout 1 week, big deal. It's not going to immediately affect you. I got in really into this in Seattle, but you know, if you miss a birthday to go to the national convention, if you miss a child's birthday or your wife's birthday, big deal. There's no no immediate consequences for neglecting single installments of time. Well, Fitz, you don't know my wife. I miss her birthday. There are immediate consequences. That's not because of missing that birthday. That's because you've been a shitty husband up to that point. It has nothing to do with the birthday.
I like the channel we're on. This is good.
So, I mean, if I wasn't married, you could probably get away with that crap. But I know, like, 95% of 95% of every argument is not about the present. It's about something that's happened in the past. And so if your wife gets ticked because you're going to the national convention, you know what? And she's ticked because quote, you're missing her birthday. There's really, like, 95% of why she's ticked at you is because maybe you've missed all her birthdays, or maybe there's always something you're doing instead of spending time with her. Maybe she doesn't feel like that you've made her a priority in your life. Maybe she feels like everything else in your life is more important than her. And so when you miss this birthday to go to the national convention, of course she's going to get pissed off because it's just one more brick in this wall of putting her second. So it's not about the convention and missing that one birthday. It's about everything else you've done or not done as a husband or a wife, you know, as a spouse. Let's say it that way.
And she might love it if she was second instead of fourth.
Well, and here's something else, because you know, you can reschedule birthdays. You can say, okay, her birthday is January 19th, Fitz. That's right in the middle of convention. I can't go to convention because I got to go to her birthday. And I say, why not make her birthday the 17th? Why not make her birthday the 25th? That's when you celebrate. That's when you take her out to dinner. That's when you lavish her with your gifts that you've gotten her and the adoration that you have for her. Why do you have to do it during an event that could radically change your life? I think it's because you don't have your priorities straight. So my wife is first on my list. In my life, actually, it's God, family, business. But so my wife is before this business. Which means sometimes I have to spend time away from her because she is first in my business, in my life. Why does it make any sense, Fitz? Sure it does. I got to make money. So I can keep a roof over her head and provide her with the security that she's grown accustomed to. So sometimes I have to neglect time with her in order to... Because she is more important than my business. So there are rarely any immediate consequences for neglecting single installments of time in any arena of life. Number three, neglect has a cumulative effect. Like we said, working out, you miss once working out, you miss one workout. Big deal. If you miss every workout for a year, it's a big effect. If you miss every birthday, every holiday, every, you know, anniversary, and you never do anything to make up that time, if you're always, you know, an absentee parent or an absentee spouse, well, yeah, it's going to have a cumulative effect. Your wife's going to resent you. Your kids are going to grow up not knowing who you are. That has a negative effect, cumulatively. Number four. There is no cumulative value to the urgent things that we allow to interfere with our important things. There's no cumulative value to the urgent things that we allow to interfere with our important things. Example, missing conventions, leadership, sales meeting, conference calls for a preschool graduation. There's no cumulative value to those urgent things like the preschool graduation that we allow to interfere with our important things. Cumulatively, there's no value to going to that preschool graduation. Dan, can you remember from Seattle what somebody said? You may have stepped out at that point, but somebody said there was there's a good example of this in the Seattle meeting, and I was presenting, so I didn't write it down. Do you remember what it was? Dan, are you there?
Yeah, here, it's on mute. No, I don't. I'm trying to think. I'm looking at my notes, but...
Somebody said... There's no, maybe there's no cumulative value to, I can't remember what it was. It was a good example for this business. There's no cumulative value to the urgent things. Those things that we allow to pop up and take priority in our lives. For example, and a lot of you guys have done this, and you may not know what's happening, but you'll call right before I'm doing a conference call, and you'll need to speak to me, and it's urgent. And the message you get back from Melissa or Joanne or whoever takes your call is, he can't talk to you right now. Because the important thing is me protecting my mind from anything negative, because I'm about to get onto a conference call and actually speak into these people's lives.
I remember what it was.
What was it?
It was, you know, scheduling appointments to write business during meeting times and conference call times.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, Dan, it's so important. I know we got a sales meeting tomorrow, but gosh, I really have to book an appointment right now. Well, I'm going to have an appointment tomorrow during that time. I'm going to have to book appointments during that time. I've kind of run out of time. That's the only time I have, Dan. See, there's no cumulative value to those urgent things that you allow. So there's no cumulative value for me interrupting my planning time to talk to somebody. There's no cumulative value for me to take a conference, to take an urgent call from an agent during a conference call with NAA. There's no cumulative value to taking that call from the agent. There is a cumulative value to doing that important thing and listening to that call. Does that make sense to everybody? Everybody write these down?
Mm-hmm.
We're all given equal opportunity. There's 24 hours in a day. How do you like that for equal opportunity? Everybody's got 24 hours. How do you use your 24 hours? Have you figured out how to make it 48? You know, people say all the time, well, if you could figure out how to make it 26 hours, I'd get more done in a day. Yeah, I figured it out. You guys ready for this? Recruit depth. Build depth. That's how you create more time in the day. Build infrastructure in your office. Support staff. That's how you build more time in your day. So we got me, got Ian, Joanne, Mel, Bruno, Vern. 6 times 24. So we work just about a week every day in this office. This office, and really you can count the actual office space, is really another 24 hours. So we do. We put in 7 days every day in this office. I multiplied my time by bringing on effective support staff. Now, some people hear that and they go, okay, that's how I've got to do it then. And so they'll hire somebody even though they can't afford them. See, I think that's dangerous. I would rather put in 100-hour work weeks and not hire somebody without the money to pay them. Because I take my staff very seriously. They're closer than most of my family. And so I take it very seriously that I have payroll to meet every 2 weeks. I take it very seriously that both Jason and Melissa Bruno work for us. I take it very seriously. That's a whole family that's dependent on me, not screwing things up. I was about to say not failing, in case you heard me saying an F, and then I replaced it with screwing. I wasn't about to curse. But that's a whole family that's dependent on me not screwing things up, not failing. I take that very seriously. And so it's wiser, in my opinion, to work harder than it is to bring somebody on that you can't afford. Now, there's always going to be a little bit of nervousness when you hire somebody. Even when you know you can afford them, there's always going to be the, what if I don't get paid for 4 weeks in a row? Well, you know, what's going to happen? Well, that, you know what? That happens. no, I'm not saying it happens. It's never happened to me, but that's one of those fears that in business you just kind of have to live with. You kind of have to walk with. It's just going to be there. What if you have an agent quit and steal $100,000 from you? What if? It happened to me this year. I was so glad I'd taken Barry, Andy, and Phillip's advice and put money in the bank. So that $100,000 was stolen from me, and we didn't go out of business.
There's no way to see that coming.
There's no way to see it coming. It came from somebody I trusted a lot.
I've been there a long time.
Yeah. No way to see it coming. But because I'd prepared, because Barry Clarkson said, Fitz, there's going to be a rainy day. It will happen. You cannot avoid it. Because I listened to that and put money away, I was ready for it. I was playing golf yesterday morning with Ian and his cousin and it's kind of neat, a mutual friend. You know, one of Ian's buddies is a guy that is the general manager of the furniture store that I've bought all our furniture from. I met him before I knew Ian knew him. It was kind of crazy. But we went out and played golf yesterday morning. And, he and I were talking about business and how things were going, and because he's interested in my business doing well, because I buy my office furniture from him. And so so we're talking, and I didn't even mention that, you know, that somebody had stolen $100,000 from me. I said, well, how about you? How's your business gone this year? He said, man, it's been a really good year, you know, for us, except we had to fire somebody. I said, well, so, I mean, that happens, right? And he said, yeah. Well, we had to fire her because she embezzled $130,000. She was a person that did their invoices and somehow figured out how to hide $130,000 throughout the course of the year. And I said, well, it's a good thing you guys didn't go out of business. I mean, you prepared for that, right? He said, yeah, it's business. It happens. That kind of stuff happens. If you're going to run a business, you have to be prepared for that kind of stuff to happen. If you run a business and you don't prepare for that kind of thing to happen, when it happens, because it's going to, it's not going to be $100,000 necessarily, but it's going to be something. When it happens, you're going to go out of business. You have to prepare. And that's why I say don't make money and then just go blow it on dumb, temporal, materialistic things. Make money, put some in the bank, reinvest it back in your business so you can make more money. That's how you multiply. Recruit with. Work with the people that want to build teams to grow their depth and just continue on with that. And use these four principles of time where you know, okay, you have to keep these things in mind. And that really sort of brings me to talking about the opportunity meeting we're doing this Thursday. It's a local meeting. I recommend if you have people local, bring them local. Don't tie them into a conference call just because you can. Get them to the local meeting. There's power in being surrounded by people who are making this work. So that's where I think the webcast is not as efficient as a local meeting. Because on the webcast, it's somebody sitting in their living room alone, listening to somebody, some voice over the phone, and watching some PowerPoint presentation online. When they get off that call, maybe they're excited. But that excitement lasts about 5 seconds because all of a sudden they got to go back, take care of the kids. When you have somebody in a local meeting, when they're done, they're surrounded by people who are making this work. They can come up and shake hands with me and see my ring on my hand that says I made $1 million at NAA last year. They normally take the rings back and put more stones in it, but I guess I've reached the pinnacle of getting rings, so I get to keep mine. But they can see that, and they can see other people in the room that are successful. But Fitz, I don't have a local meeting in my area. Start one. When I moved to Dallas, there was no sales meeting here. There was no opportunity meeting here. I started it.
Right in your apartment.
Yeah, in our dining room. I just started it. What the heck? So if you don't have one locally, start one. We do the webcast to help you while you're figuring out how to start one. But it's like a Band-Aid. You know, just rip it off, man. Just go do it. So tie people into the opportunity meeting here locally and on the webcast. Get people in there as well. And get people signed up for the national convention. A lot of you guys, when last sales meeting here on Tuesday last week, I did a deal where if they turned in their registration form to me, I'd refund them $50 once their credit card information went through with NAA. I did that in Seattle too. Between the two meetings, I got 8 people to register. That was a local sales meeting of people I see every week. And an opportunity meeting in Seattle, and training. 8 people, just by offering that deal. Used to be somebody come to me on a hardship case and say, Fitz, I don't have the money to go. And of course, in the back of my head, I would always think, well, you've had time to sell an application. What you mean is, you haven't wanted to take the time or effort to make the money to go. But whatever. And I would listen to that, and I would help do a little scholarship fund. I'd pay for them to go and say, well, pay me back when you got the money. Jason Crenshaw, that happened to. He paid me back immediately. And the only reason I mention Jason Crenshaw's name is he's the only one, I think, that has ever paid me back in a situation like that. But all that, let's say it's $400 I spent to get one person to go. I just spent $400 and I got 8 people going. What do you think is the better investment? The 8 people, not the one. And Jason Crenshaw, obviously we're seeing a good return on that. But what if I'd had, let's say out of 6 people, 2 people say they want to do it. So if I had 8, certainly there's going to be 2 in there that want to build teams. So out of 8 people going to the convention now, 2 of those people are going to come out just wired out of their minds, willing to walk through a brick wall to make things happen. Then it was a great investment for me, wasn't it? It was twice as good as putting it on one person. So continue to watch for things like that. But guys, on your teams, you have got to push people to go. I mean, if your house were burning down, but your wife wanted to save the family heirlooms, what would you say or do to get her out of the house? Look, you're going to die while you're trying to get those family heirlooms. What would you say or do to get, you know, your loved one out of a drowning pool? Well, I'm telling you, this national convention is a life preserver. And some of you guys are on the edge of quitting, maybe. And I'm just telling you, the national convention will save you. The national convention will get you the education, first and foremost, that you need to build this business. It'll get you some believability, some credibility. You'll be able to meet a lot of the top leaders in NAA, aside from the people that you talk to with us, with the Fitz Group. You'll be able to meet those. And you'll get the all-important, and this is the biggest reason I go, you'll get the all-important inspiration and motivation. I go to be inspired. I go to be motivated. I need it. And when people say they don't, I just go, whatever. You're somebody that doesn't make any money. And we'll never make any money. Because all the people I know who make a lot of money need to be motivated. They're self-motivating, sure, but they also need some motivation. That's why I go to meetings like this. So get people signed up to go. They're still, if they've signed on as a brand new agent since the national leadership in September, it's $330 for the, if they skip the agency manager meeting. If they go to the agency manager meeting, it's another $100. So $430. Get people there. Man alive, get people there. We got 4 weeks from this Thursday before national convention starts. Get people there. You will not regret it. It's going to benefit you. That's all I've got this morning, guys. Didn't get to roll call, which is why I wanted to go ahead and jump into the training in the first place. Let me know. Give me feedback. Shoot me emails and let me know how I can change things and make them better for you and help put more money in your pockets. That's what my objective is. Talk to you guys later. Bye.